I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I'm your host, Karen Eden. Hope you're having a great week. Hope I can spread a little bit of inspiration or insight for you as an ordained chaplain and a spiritual counselor, seminary graduate. And I know a lot of people don't know that about me, but that's something that I pursued when I got out of the TV business several years ago. And I hope to be able to continue to do what I consider work from a higher perspective, taking orders from a higher power, because that's why we're here, guys. And we'll talk a little bit about that today, of why we're here, and this is a very important part of your journey. It's called Be Where You Are. You see, not a person listening to me today has not been in a situation where they have been uncomfortable with where they were in life at one point or another. Everybody is human, and everybody has a journey, and everybody's had blocks along that journey that they had to figure out if they were going to step over, step on top of, or take a running, jumping leap. That's all just part of the human experience. And yours truly is no different. Let me tell you how I came up with the topic of Be Where You Are. Many of you know me in the martial arts industry. I have over 28 years of teaching and training experience, which puts me as a very high-ranked female martial arts master instructor. And I've known just one type of martial arts, and that is Tung Soo Do. It's Korean military hand-to-hand combat. Not too many women like to train as long as I have in it, I guess you could say. But I've always been a little bit different, and I've always thrived on it, enjoyed it. It's helped me become a more complete person, and I like to teach to help other people also become more complete. But in Tung Soo Do, you know, it's called an hard art form, not because it's a complicated hard, but because the moves are very hard. So if you've ever competed in a tournament, sometimes they have it broken down into soft katas or hard katas. So some of the soft style katas or forms that you would compete in would be like kung fu, things of that nature, and some of the hard styles would be Korean. Korean styles are very, very hard. So they didn't think it would be very fair to put someone who does a soft style against someone who does a hard style, because you have to judge very, very differently whenever you're doing those two different styles of forms in competition. So when I say I've trained for 28 years in a hard style, I'm talking about, it's a lot of power behind those punches. It's not a lot of pushing and breathing. There's a little pushing and breathing, but there's a lot more high kicking, you know, punching with waist twists. And you guys who train, you know what I mean. It's a lot of, you know, snap, power, snap, power, snap, power. And you have to learn to turn your body into a weapon in a way that, you know, it's after a while, it's not too good on the joints. Oh, yeah, we all know that. Those who've trained for any amount of time, I struggle with that sometimes on a daily basis. But anyway, that's what hard style is. And because I really felt like my body was starting to take a beating a few years ago, I decided to incorporate some yoga into my training. Now, yoga is not hard style. Matter of fact, you can't get more of a softer style than something like yoga or Tai Chi. You know, that's totally opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to martial arts styles. And, you know, if you do yoga or Tai Chi, they'll tell you this is not a martial art. This is more about balance. It's more about the yin-yang philosophy, which I'm not going to get into. But anyway, one thing that I picked up after studying yoga for a few years is the sense of you have to be where you are at that particular moment in time. So, for instance, there are days that I can do a one-legged seated chair move. You know, no problem, just boom, 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 I'm there. I can hold it there. And there are other days that I can't go near that move. It's still me. I'm still healthy. Nothing's really changed, but for some reason, my body doesn't want to work with me to do that particular move on that day. So what you learn to do is to not beat yourself up, but you work with your body right where it's at that time. So maybe I can't do a one-legged seated chair, but maybe I can do a two-legged seated chair. Fine. Tomorrow I'll go back to being a one-legged seated chair. But today it is what it is, and I'm not going to beat myself up over that. There are other moves like that where it's some days you just have the flow with that balance, and other days, man, you hobble like, you're doing some kind of Indian dance. I can say that. Don't you say that, because I'm Indian. I'm Native American. I can get away with that, so don't you try that. All right. Anyway, be where you are. See, in martial arts, if you aren't where you're supposed to be, well, then you better practice harder and get there, because if you want to pass rank, you're going to have to master certain moves. And practice does make perfect, and you will get there with that practice. But down the road, your body might pay the price for that. You know, I remember one time when I was an orange belt, we had a guest Tungsudo instructor from Korea teach class that day. It was a very hard class. But anyway, I couldn't do what you would call a kick, to put in layman terms, it's a kick that moves forward and it hooks either at the midsection or at the face. It's a hook kick. But you've got to be able to maneuver your hip to turn it, because if you don't turn your hip far enough, your leg is not going to be able to have that whip effect and hit somebody, whatever your goal is, wherever that point in that person's body is for you to hit. I was having a real hard problem with that hip turning thing, and so I don't know if I should say I made the mistake of going up after class and saying, you know, I'm having a problem with that kick. I probably should have just went home. It was already a hard class. But I told him, I said, I can't seem to get any height when I do that hook kick. So he didn't speak very good English, but what he did is he pulled out a folding chair with the back of that chair facing me, and he goes, okay, 200 times right leg. So it's like, boom, boom, you know. And I tell you what, you'll learn to do that kick right, because otherwise you hit the back of the chair and it hurts. And so, obviously, that was the right leg, and you know what's coming next, right? 200 kicks with the left leg. So, it really did help me understand the hook kick. And ladies and gentlemen, I do that kick very well now. But anyway, that would be called hard style. You don't get it? Well, let's just practice till you do get it. But see, when you get into be where you are, and you get into yoga, it's like, okay, well, maybe today's not the day you're going to master the hook kick. But we're just going to continue to have balance and a positive attitude. And we're going to try this kick again maybe tomorrow and see if you've made any progress. So there's a difference in philosophy. Just because I totally stink at the one-legged seated chair move today doesn't mean I'm going to stink at it tomorrow. And I've learned that about myself, that sometimes my body does things and sometimes it doesn't. You know, I don't argue with it. I appreciate my body. I'm happy that I'm not even in traction right now. I complain sometimes with my joint aches and pains and my back pains, but honestly, I am. I'm very happy I'm not in a wheelchair, which I tell you what, after some of the things I've done, I probably, you know, could very well be there. Anyway, you guys that practice martial arts, you know what I'm talking about. But getting on track of be where you are, it makes a lot of sense, because life is not an ultimate arrival. Life is a journey till the day that you cross onward and pass forward, or whatever, pass forward and cross onward, whatever you want to call it, to get to the next level without your physical vehicle. Your life is going to be a journey. And in that, that means that you never really will meet any type of ultimate destination. You know, it's almost a shame, because as young people, we're programmed that we have to have goals. But what they don't tell you is that you have the rest of your life to achieve those goals. It's not like you have to achieve them by the time you're 21. And that puts a lot of pressure on these kids. I mean, you can tell that someone's been telling them, okay, what are your goals? How can we achieve your goals? You know, and it was like that when I was in school as a young person coming up. aptitude tests, all kind of scholastic tests to see how you're wired and how you can set your goals in life. It's nothing wrong with goal setting. I'm not knocking that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying, let's put the clock down. Let's not stopwatch time ourselves as to when we're supposed to reach those goals, because it is a journey, and we do have the rest of our life to reach the goals that we've set for us. I don't know if you've ever studied marketing, but one thing I learned in marketing is that they have this pyramidal effect. The top of the pyramid is the ultimate supreme goal. I've obtained and reached every single thing that I've had as far as a goal for myself, my career, or my company, whatever you want to call it. I remember my teacher saying, don't ever reach the top of that pyramid, because if you do, there's nothing left. The top is the top. So, I mean, and he goes, the bottom line is when you have a business or a company or a goal, you want to keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward with that company or business. So I remember that stuck with me. And I thought about that as the journey in life as well. In Tung Soo Do, many of you know, traditionally we wear a midnight blue belt, not a black belt. Midnight blue meaning that I'm on a journey. I'm never going to reach a black belt because it's not possible to know it all. I like that philosophy. I proudly wear the midnight blue belt, and honestly, it's starting to switch over now a little bit where they're so hard to find that a lot of people are just going in Tung Soo Do are moving to the black belt. But I try to stick with it. I try to have my black belt students and instructors also continue to wear the midnight blue belt as long as I can get that blue belt, because it does have a meaning that I am never going to be able to learn it all. Quote, unquote, I am a student. I'm always going to be a student, and I always have to keep that in mind. Be where you are. You know, think about that for a minute. You almost have to undo everything that you were ever taught when you understand that in life we're going to have obstacles and challenges. And maybe that's okay. You know what? When you're in a very uncomfortable part in your life, you don't need to cry about that. You don't need to feel like you're the world's biggest loser over something like that. What you need to understand is that you're not always going to be where you are. And even if you have to stop for a minute and think and contemplate and reassess, it's okay to do that. We're not where we always want to be at a particular time in our life. That's just called life. And there's so much pressure, especially in our society, the American society, the Western society, I guess you could say, to be a high achiever, that, you know, it's almost like if there's one little thing that doesn't quite go our way, we feel under an obligation to go on antidepressants. Listen, if you have a chemical imbalance, I'm not picking on you. A lot of people do. But I'm just telling you that, you know, maybe it's just your life taking a turn because it's trying to get you in a path, especially if you're a spiritual person, a path that was designed by Father God, our Creator. And you don't need to freak out about whatever is in your path at a particular time. People wonder why I'm religious. Man, I'm super religious. I'll tell you that straight to your face. You know what? Call me a Jesus freak. I love it. I like being freaky. And that's no problem with me. I really need to know that someone has designed my path that helps me stay focused with who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. I'm not out there just grasping for straws. I know when challenges come my way that all I have to do is be where I am at that time until that lesson passes for me. Everything is on your stage for a reason. Sometimes people get upset. Again, this happens to me. Again, I can't get a break. Why does God do this to me? Well, you know, maybe it's not God. It probably isn't. Maybe it's you, because you haven't learned your lesson yet. When you've learned your lesson, then it'll pass. It'll go off your stage. We all have been designed because we've been created in the image of God, and we've all been designed with a certain path. Not everybody is on a path with the belief of God, but it's true because we're created in his image. And it's a shame if you never know what your path is. You know, and I counsel a lot with people who want to know what their path is in the image of the Creator. What did God put me here for? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Successful people want to know that. I'm very successful, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Listen, that's a very honest and sincere question, and I really appreciate that question. And if you're still on the journey of trying to figure out who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, I'm going to tell you, just do what you can to show love and do good things for other people. Because love will always light the path and lead the way and show you where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. What is love? Woo, that's a hard question. Ask the people around me. I've spent 20 years trying to figure that question out. I did a mini doc on it. I tell you about that mini doc. Hey, go right back to my group page, the Eden Assignment. It's on there. I've discovered that love always involves a sacrifice. True love, unconditional love, there's a sacrifice without any expectation. There's no expectation of a return on that investment when it comes to love. Do you love somebody? Can you invest in that person and not expect anything in return? We're talking now, aren't we? That's what you need to do, because when you do that, light bulbs go off. When you can actually invest and show love into the world and to other people and expect nothing in return, all of a sudden, ding, ding, you see these light bulbs. You're, aha, that light bulb is lighting my way. I'm starting to see there's a light shining on my path. I know it sounds pretty cool that I may have said that to some people, but I'm not the first. It's actually in Proverbs in the Bible. You know, it says your light will shine brighter like the dawning of a new day. It's so true, but you've got to make a point to want to move in that direction. You have to seek it if you want to find it. Keep seeking it. Just do good things. Every time someone's in your path with a need, do something good. Try to help them. Everybody who's put in your path with a need has been put in your path for a reason. Always. Don't mistake your chance to better yourself by helping somebody who's been put in your path. Let me tell you a little bit about something that, you know, I'm going to get really religious here. So, if, you know, I always warn people, I get Christy, you don't like it, just turn it off now, because this is this is straight out of the big book, man. There is a character in the Bible, and I don't like the word character, but there is someone in the Bible talked about. His name is Paul. And Paul is very significant. Most of the New Testament is written from the books that Paul wrote. And he said something. In the book of Philippians, it says, whether I have much or little, I am content in all things. Whether I have much or little, I am content in all things. This is someone, ladies and gentlemen, who had enough spiritual maturity to understand that there are times in life you're going to have much, and there are times in life you're going to have little. It ebbs and flows like that. You have to be content in the times you have a lot just as much as you're content in the times you have little. Surprisingly, this is my journey. I've been more content in the times I've had little than the times I've had much. I've had stress, pressure, aggravation, heartache when I've had much. I've been very blessed in a TV career over the course of 20, 25 years. But man, I tell you what, the times that I didn't have that, I feel good. I mean, I feel very content. I feel at peace. I feel less stress. You know, you can't put a price on peace. But getting back to Paul, you have to understand this man's journey. Okay, he came up in a very good family, Paul. He was Saul before he was Paul. Listen, Google it, read it. It's a great story. Anyway, for lack of a better way of putting it, he was part of the Jewish government scene. And he may have been an attorney or a judge or something like that. He was a leader of some sort. He made good money. He had much. And then when he became what we call in the Christian religion, like the very first missionary, he was the one who went into other countries to bring the teachings of Christ. He set up like these seven churches in what you would call Gentile countries, or countries that were not of Jewish origin. He was the first to do that. And I tell you what, there were times he had to depend on other believers to give him food and lodging. he talks about, you know, to make a little extra jingle in my pocket, I'm setting up tents, you know, for people to have these fairs and stuff, and they can rent my tent out. I mean, this is a guy who made big, big money, guys. And for him to say, whether I have much or whether I have little, doesn't matter to me, man. I'm good. It's because he's being where he is. He's simply being where he is. How many times was Paul imprisoned? Several times. He almost died. This is a man who took no thought about the future. He was where he was at that time. And that, my friends, takes spiritual maturity. To be where you are, whether you have little or whether you have much, to be fully reliant on God, the creator of you, and to know that he is organizing your footsteps on your journey, that is someone who is spiritually maturing, truly. All right. Be where you are. Hope you've enjoyed that. Can I tell you where I'm going? I'd like to let you know some places I'm going to be. Let's see. This is Monday, July the 23rd, and this weekend, the 27th, I'm going to be in Atlanta at the Korean Masters Hall of Fame. And I'm going to be speaking there, and I'm being inducted, and I'm truly honored, truly, truly honored to be inducted into that Hall of Fame. That one's long-standing, been around a long time. August the 4th, that's like as soon as I get home, I'm flying right back out to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be emceeing the Who's Who in Martial Arts event at the beautiful Gaylord National Hotel under Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. And that's a fun event, and a lot of people are there if you're in martial arts. Some very well-noted people are there. And I hope that you can come out and, you know, I hope you can get in the book. Hurry if you want to get in that book, like really hurry. You got like maybe a day or two to submit an application and tell them I sent you. Even if I don't know you, if you're in martial arts, what? Just say, just name drop me. I'm on the committee. It'll work. I'm not worried about it. Okay, September the 28th, that is Houston. It is the Sport Karate Museum, Power of Women. I'm so excited about this because all my sisters, this is like the largest gathering of female martial artists in history that we're aware of, talking about fighters from the 60s, the 70s, and 80s, some really, really tough chicks here. And this is going to be awesome. If you are a female martial artist, come join us. Doesn't matter what your rank is. See, the beauty of martial arts is we were all white belts, and we know what it's like to not be a white belt, to be a white belt. And we never forget that journey, because anybody who was a white belt that tells you they didn't stink, they're lying. We all were bad at white belts. We had a teacher that was good and patient with us and brought us up the ranks correctly, hopefully. Come on out and join us if you can in Houston. And then I'm working on right now Muskogee, Oklahoma, doing some Native American work at Bacone College. It's very high with Native American students. I want to inspire them. And I always say special thanks to the Military Order of Stars and Bars of Colorado for supporting and sponsoring that trip. If you want to sponsor my Native American work or my inner youth city martial arts work, I would be very grateful. And, you know, let me know if that's upon your heart to do that, because my goal, we talk about what the Creator designed me to do, is to inspire especially ethnic young people to actually hands-on go in and work with them to make a difference so that they'll make good decisions in their lives and help make the world a better place. One student at a time, I say one low block at a time, making the world a better place. Yeah, I like that, and that's pretty good. Don't anybody steal that from me. I'm going to use that. I might write a karate column on that. Okay, that's pretty much it for now. I'm trying not to travel in the winter months, guys, because, man, I got definitely sick last winter, almost died. I tell that story sometimes. It ended up flu attacking my heart. I don't want to get the flu again, so I'm just like, I'm going to try to stay home during the winter months, and that's my goal this time. So anyway, I hope I can see you, and if you do see me and I don't recognize you, I'm probably not wearing my glasses. So come on up and say hi and shake my hand. I'll be so thrilled to see you. I will be bringing my books and things like that, patches, stuff like that, to Houston. So anyway, if you want to buy my books, Google me. They're online. I have 4 out right now. Thank you for supporting my columns in martial arts magazines over the last 20 years. And I think that's about it. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, for the radio time. And I'm praying for you guys. You pray for me, too. I believe in prayer. It's very, very powerful. And until then, I will see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.
The American Martial Arts Alliance, along with the AMAA Masters Radio Network, is launching Proud to be a Martial Artist. This will be the theme of our 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. Nominate someone for this great honor, someone that has made a contribution to the martial arts that has changed lives, that unsung hero that has done so much for the community, so much for lives. We want to know about that person. Visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination today. So many martial artists have lost the opportunity to share their story. Remember, visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination. For questions and support, call 919-489-6100.